Dear friends in Christ, first of all, I felt compelled to cause confusion and cancel High Mass because of the delay. So I apologize for the confusion here. And I want to start the sermon with a comparison, a challenge. If you take a picture, a portrait of any random person in their early 20s, from, let's say, the 1950s or 1970s, and you look into the eyes of these people, and you compare it with the eyes of a portrait of modern-day people of my age, their 20s, there's a big difference. What is the difference there? And I have to summarize it, and there's many aspects to this, and I have to summarize it in the words kind of a lack. There's a lack of purposefulness in modern man. A tendency to laziness and idleness cannot be disregarded either in younger generations. And when you tell me that this laziness comes from the manifold conveniences we have in our lives compared to other generations, because we have modern technology making our lives so easy that we tend to lean back and let the technology do our work, I would answer that that is not completely true. And I do not see this being the essential problem. And here's the proof. If you go out and ask any successful businessman, or a very learned professor, or a scientist, go ask them about the concept of idleness, and they're going to push you off because they even don't have time to think about this. Yet they still use the same technology as we are using. And the younger generations that tend to idleness because of it. But put those people, those are super busy and very learned and not prone for any idleness, put them on the sick bed and see what happens to these people. The dual sickness of boredom stares right at their face, and they experience the laming effect of forced unemployment. And what happens when you are not anymore able to go out and do deals with people, if you're not anymore able to teach the children as you like to do as a professor and think very deeply because of your headaches, those people very quickly start having thoughts of having no purpose in society anymore. And often enough end up in a sort of despair. And here's not the time nor the place to talk about the changing conduct of these people to whom any service done is being paid back, usually with ungratefulness or unkindness. My point is that once we are faced with an ailment, once our body is faced with sickness, and we cannot perform our skill anymore, we are somewhat unable to flee from boredom. Unless we have learned how to deal, or in more precise words, how to sanctify that challenging circumstance which is new to us. And now let's lift this example, the physical ailment, on a higher level, on the sickness of the soul. When men of our times encounter and have contact with the people in the world, it is true that we come into contact as well with spiritual sicknesses in a way larger diversity than ever before in humanity. Because modernism is the pit of all heresy, as we read in the encyclica Crescendi. People around us, and I speak about the way how they deal with concepts and ideas of our faith, but also of common life scenarios, people are thinking in wrong concepts of liberalism, subjectivism, rationalism, naturalism, false ecumenism, you name it. And should we think that these germs are not going to affect our soul if we do not have a strong spiritual immunity in form of a steady prayer life and study of our Catholic faith? No, we would be lying to ourselves. If we think that we can resist those evils by our own strengths and efforts. And unfortunately, many are lying to themselves about this point. But those who lie to themselves are held easier, more easy, because all they have to do is being honest and practice obedience to their confessor's advice when they disclose their errors in their confessional. But many more traditional Catholics have different forms of such sort of thinking, spiritual ailments, and do not have the spirit of discretion, first of all, realizing it, that they have a problem, and what kind of problem, and this is without even their error. And this is far worse, because how can a doctor apply the right medicine when he's not able to detect the specific type of sickness? When you therefore do sense that something is not right in your thinking, something doesn't square, for example, how can I allow my children to read this and that book? How can I allow my children to watch this and that movie without me as parent knowing if this contains things contrary to faith and morals? How can I be okay with this? Liberal mindset. How can I think that based on my knowledge about our Catholic faith, I would never deny it, completely forgetting about the fact that faith is a grace of God. He can take it anyway if I do something wrong. Because we believe thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit fornication, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. We believe it because in our obedience to God having revealed this truth to us through His Church. And not because I decided that makes sense to do so. That is the sin of liberalism. Just as when the parents tell their toddlers not to touch the hot stove, the toddler might not know at this moment that this is for their best, but it's better for them to obey. And then later on in life, they're going to find out, one way or the other, that the parents were right. This was for their best, not to touch the hot stove. So first obedience, and then later on in life, it's going to make more sense to us. Not completely, but more. And so the same is with our faith. Can't take it for granted. We have to keep studying each and every day, at least willing to be studying each and every day to improve in our faith. And now we can tie this message of today's Gospel in with our current topic of this increasing boredom because we don't know that we are suffering from something. In seeing the householder, which is God the Father, who unlike the Masonic idea of deism, which thinks that God leaves the world after its creation to its own government, no, our Father is very much concerned about us. And he goes out over and over again, representing the third, sixth, and ninth hour, the Old Testament, the prophets that he called, the 11th hour is the priests, the bishops in the church, in the New Testament. He cares so much because he knows that we suffer in the heat, which is the world, after the fall. Remember, the effects of original sin are those unregulated passions to which our soul is subjected, especially the mind, the will, our memory. And hence our slow and dull minds are prone for contracting spiritual diseases in form of false ideas and judgments as it is around us. And so our Father in heaven knows about these miserable conditions, and in His mercy and kindness He gives us the Gospel as our guide how to worship Him properly. He gives us the sacraments through His chosen dispensers of grace, the priests and the bishops. He asks, therefore, to learn if and what spiritual sickness we have contracted, we might follow, in order to know which remedy has to be applied and not end up in despairing groundless anxiety of one's worthlessness, being in a state of sickness. A sick person has a purpose just as a healthy person, namely to sacrifice and offer up the pains and also this bitter medicine in remission of our own sins and the sins of others. So when you are sick, first we need to accept it, we need to realize it. Yes, I am sick. And then we need to treat ourselves. Who is a specialist in this kind of sickness? Who am I going to ask you for? I'm going to ask which priest knows about this, how to treat this problem properly. Otherwise, we will never be able to be cured. And even worse, be more vulnerable to many other types of diseases. And with this Septuagesima Sunday, we enter a season within the spiritual year where we have time to think in and investigate about our specific spiritual sickness. We think, for example, of our predominant fault and how it leads us to commit other sins. And then you think and maybe ask your priests which personal and private penance might be most effective for your soul, which you can practice during this upcoming season of Lent. And remember that the essence of penance is consisting in turning away from evil and turning towards God. That's what it's all about. So your private penance, besides the imposed fast and abstinence, serves the purpose of reminding you constantly how to keep yourselves faced towards God at all times. So we'll be able to become witnesses of Christ's resurrection on Easter. And not be surprised, like the Roman soldiers, the guards at the tomb, or even worse, that we contract a similar thinking pattern like the Pharisees, who lied to themselves about the fact of the resurrection, and that we be lying to ourselves thinking we can delay our conversion and wait for more signs that it is time to surrender to the will of God. So if you look at the prayer of your missal and see what the Church makes us pray, namely, graciously hear, we beseech you, Lord, the prayers of thy people, that we who are justly afflicted for our sins, meaning we realize we have a problem and we need treatment for it, may be mercifully delivered by thy goodness for the glory of thy name. So he who prays this prayer admits being afflicted by some sort of spiritual ailment due to bad decisions in the past. And when we stop being idle and commit ourselves wholeheartedly to a true spirit of penance, again, turning away from evil, turning towards God, not only will we have the peace of soul on Easter, which is the greatest peace we can enjoy here on earth, but at the end of our lives, we also shall receive that one denarii that we agreed to at our baptism, which is the glory and bliss of the kingdom of heaven. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.